It is my birthday today. I am 37 years old, and these are just facts because normally I'm not a big birthday person, but there is a reason for this. Years ago, I wrote an article called What I Know For Sure, which of course is a phrase Oprah coined, I believe, way back when that I really loved, you know, partly because I love a strong woman, but the sheer confidence to stand in your own opinion and say something like that is bold and it's admirable. So I was trying to stand in that. Anyways, I wrote it. I published it and then shortly after requested it be taken down because I thought, who the hell am I to know anything? So long story short, I revisited it today thinking that, you know, I probably have changed my mind about everything because that's what happens when we grow up. We think we know something until we are proven wrong and are humbled. But interestingly for me, the things I knew for sure back then actually sort of hold up today. So I thought I would share some of them. And if you are feeling self-doubt or bad about yourself or judgmental about yourself or sadness or anxiety, these are things I know very well. And it's part of the reason I started this podcast. My hope is that maybe you'll get something out of them. And if you don't, that's okay too. As with everything, take what you need and leave the rest. As always, Feel Goodery is recorded in front of a live studio dog. My name is Kyle Buchanan. I am so happy you're here. Here we go. Hello, hello. There is a man outside with incredible road rage right now honking his horn. So I'm hoping he lets up so I can record this episode, sir. Anyways, today's episode is sort of different, and I'm really grateful you're here for it and are taking the time. You know, on Feel Goodery, on this show, if this is your first time here, we talk about a lot of stuff from overthinking to anxiety to gas to bloat to regret to mistakes, all the things that can make us feel sort of crappy. Because from there, in shining a light on that crap, we can release its hold over us. And then we can learn and take some steps to help us feel just a little gooder if we're in the mood. And a big part of me, if you have been part of the show for a little while, is that I am a sucker for life lesson stuff. I love a good epilogue. I love the image of the wise elder telling the young student of all the wisdom learned and reminders to enjoy life while you're able to. It's those things we want to remember, but easily forget when we're in the throes of hustling to pay our rent or worrying if our work will be recognized by our boss or the people we work with. But it's in the moments of watching a movie or when we go away on vacation or on those, you know, special days a couple times a year like Christmas or our birthdays, when we take the time to acknowledge and take in those feelings and those lessons that we'll probably think more about in the last years of our life. But how great would it be if we took more time now to remember them and put them into practice so life's a happier place to be? And I say this because I personally, even though I love this stuff, am the first person to let stress get the better of me and get overwhelmed easily and delay any good feelings until I've, you know, quote unquote, earned that time. So that's what this episode is for today, just to serve as a reminder for me and for anyone who needs it and who also likes a good corny soundbite every now and then. Because we know I like a cornflake. I do. I really do. I always roll my eyes at them, but at the end of the day, I like a cornflake. I like a corny moment. And I so wish I could say this entire episode in the voice of Kat's mom from Casper, if you've ever seen that movie, who comes back from the dead to give her husband, her alive husband, life lessons. Or it's the same kind of voice I want as Mary Alice in Desperate Housewives, who is also a dead character, narrating the life lessons at the end of each episode. Just a wise elder that's passed on, that realizes how silly we are, how silly we living human beings are, focusing on the wrong things. That's the energy I'd like to bring to this episode. I love a good life lesson given by a dead woman.
Yay!
So these are some of the things that I know for sure for now. I might very well listen to this back in 40 years, thinking that I was this naive little turd bucket. And I will take responsibility for that and own up to my mistakes. But for now, on this 37th birthday, this is what I know for sure. Number one, wanting everyone to like you is an exercise in exhaustion. It can be a real slippery slope when it comes to people pleasing and wanting everyone to like you. Or maybe it's the other part, which is not wanting anyone to be mad at you. And it can be even trickier when you run a business that in part relies on people to like you in order to work with you and pay you so you can live. But if you try to craft yourself, and I'm saying this to younger Kyle, as well as maybe younger you or you now, if you try to craft yourself into a person that theoretically will be liked by all, you will end up being a tired, exhausted, and most importantly, a very bland, boring person who isn't true to themselves. And this is something I've gotten better at, but I'm human, and depending on the day, especially if I'm about to put a piece of my work out there, it can be really easy to start hypothesizing how others might perceive me. And then before I know it, I'm down the rabbit hole, I'm lost in the void and exhausted, and what a waste of time. The hard truth of life is that not everyone will like you, and that's okay. Why do we spend so much of our energy putting importance on the ones who might not like us and take for granted the ones who do? So when we recognize that wanting to be liked by all is an exercise in exhaustion and doesn't serve us, and when we let go of what other people think, life's a happier place to be. And it's also worth noting that letting go of what other people think of you is an active process. It's not something we do once and forget. It's a muscle that we have to work on each and every day, because we have to remember we will kill ourselves trying to get everyone to like us. Number two, holding on to resentment is an energy drainer. Have you ever heard the phrase that holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die? It's true. If you've ever been angry at someone or frustrated with someone who's, and this is me, frustrated with someone who's not remorseful for the hurtful things they've done, you know it's an awful feeling. It's insidious. It can feel like this pit in your stomach that's eating you from the inside out. And that feeling, that resentment, it can take over your entire day. It can stop you from being productive because you just can't focus on anything else. And maybe you've experienced this. And that's heartbreaking, because in that case, if you're not being productive, if you're not living your life because you're thinking about this thing over and over again, that is heartbreaking, because you're basically suffering twice. You're suffering because of the resentment and suffering because you're not getting the things done that will help you move forward. I was considering not including this, but I was mad at my dad for years, my father, for the way he left my mom. I resented him and it exhausted me. And then it took time, but I realized that I had to let it go for me, not for him, because essentially I was the one paying the price for all of this anger. And it felt like, if you've ever had enough anger, it sort of feels like it's acidic. It's acidifying you from the inside out, which in many ways it is. So I had to let that resentment go, and I'm lighter for it. And I know that this can be a hard thing to do, and it's not about not honoring how you're feeling. It's not about suppressing your feelings. There's a time and place to feel all the feelings. But when that time has passed and the resentment has overstayed its welcome, which generally we know, recognize that we deserve to have things in our life that serve us and that help us move forward. And we owe it to ourselves to let go of the things that hold us back. And I'm not a therapist, and I highly recommend therapy, but one tool that I have found to be useful beyond recognizing that I deserve better than that is to truly smile and, when I'm ready, send love and light to the person who's hurt me. Be grateful for the lesson or the experience they've given me that's tested me, and wish them all the best for their own sake. I know that sounds really new agey, and that really is a corny moment, like send them love and light, but it truly, for me, is one of the only things I have found to be effective. So send them love and light, hope they grow, and do things that pick yourself up. Oh, how fun. The road rage guy's back. I hope you can't hear it. Number three, the next thing I know to be true, probably won't come as a surprise to anyone. This is going to be a short one, but something I will always know to be true is that meditation works wonders. Again, I won't harp on this because I've talked about it before, and it's also something we know, all know, is true at this point. It's just sometimes hard to get into the habit of, but meditation, and there's no wrong way to do it, It is about finding what works for you. Meditation really does help clear out the gunk in our brain and makes you feel better and lighter. It just adds space to an overcrowded brain. That's all I'll say about meditation. We know. Number four, comparison really is the thief of joy. Social media brings this to a whole new level nowadays, but it really is true regardless. You know that feeling when you're having a good day? You got a lot done. You've checked everything off your to-do list. You're proud of yourself. Good for you. And then you decide to open up Instagram. And it's good at first. You know, maybe you see friends on vacation and you're like, good for them. Then you see another friend having this great meal at a cool restaurant you want to go to. And you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. I hope they enjoy. And then the longer you spend on that app, the more less than you start feeling. You're scrolling and you see a friend post their new car and suddenly the joy for them isn't really there. Instead, the thoughts are, must be nice, or I'll never get a car like that. And just like that, comparison stole your joy. I really hope Sarah Jessica Parker doesn't trademark and just like that. In which case, I'd love to have you on the show. What do they call her? SJP? SJP. Anyways, just like that, comparison stole your joy. Now, there are some days where maybe you go right to that comparison place. It depends on the day for sure. But comparison, it's a very real thing. It's a human thing. And sometimes it can be good. Sometimes jealousy can give us insight as to what we might really want, but don't let ourselves want or won't admit to. But when comparison starts to steal your light and steal your drive, that's when it becomes a problem. So as much as you can, all of us, be kind and move that spotlight you're shining on everyone else and put it on you. Recognize how great you are. We're all just doing the best we can, and it's our journey in the end, no one else's. So if you know you are going to start comparing if you open up social media today, if you know you're extra sensitive today for whatever reason, decide to give yourself the gift of not going on and focus on all the good that you are and all the good that you have. Number five, being busy for the sake of busy serves nothing but our ego. Even though we know that overworking isn't a good thing now, it's still easy to wear being busy like a badge of honor. And a lot of us feel guilty when we slow down and we're not being productive. But truly, busy for the sake of busy serves that lovely ego that falsely tells you, I am a good human because I did X, Y, and Z today. The trick is, you're a good human because you're a good human, experiencing all aspects of life, including doing absolutely nothing and relishing in it. So let us collectively screw this false narrative that states we're only of value if we do stuff. If you need to be busy and get important stuff done, great. But equally embrace the nothing when you're able to, because both busy and rest are of equal importance. And the last thing that I know for sure for now is that the biggest trick of growing up is that none of us really do. When we're kids, we assume that we will figure it all out when we grow up, and that grown-ups know exactly what they're doing. But the more years pass, and the more waiting you do for that feeling that you are that grown-up who's figured it all out, the more you realize that that day is probably not going to come. We are all just big kids doing the best we can. Sure, we've got some knowledge and some experience under our belt, but half the time, it still feels like we're in high school, trying to get ahead, wondering if we made the right call, wondering what we really want to be when we grow up. And the harsh reality is that a lot of us carry around all the pain and the trauma from our childhood, and that pain and trauma unconsciously feed into today's daily decisions. Those little ones we once were are still very much alive in us and run the show more than we might think. So really, this one is sort of a twofold. One, we really are just big kids on a bigger playground, and that can be of comfort sometimes if you need perspective, if your boss or your coworkers are annoying the crap out of you. Just imagine them as big idiot children. And two, it's important to remember that even though you have a more grown-up body now, that little version of yourself is still very much in there. And showing that little one some attention now again, whether through acknowledgement or play or imagination or just sheer unadulterated hope. Remember when you used to hope? That really can go a long way. And this is my plug for the movie I watch every year around my birthday, and that is Disney's The Kid. If you have not seen that movie, I highly recommend it. If you want a feel-good movie that also gives you some perspective, Bruce Willis is in it. Gene Smart is amazing. I can't say enough good things about it. All right. With that, we will say goodbye for another week. Thank you always for taking the time to listen to the show, for being part of the show, for being part of my life, and for just being you. It does make a difference. This episode has been filled with a lot of corny one-liners, so I'm not going to add any more fuel to the fire with a corny epilogue, but I would suggest, if you have never written down or spoken aloud the things you know to be true, what you know for sure, I highly encourage you to try it out, because it's a very self-informative thing to do, and it's oddly a very confidence-building tool that I found to be true. And if you want, because this is inspired by Oprah, you can do the Oprah thing, being like, I wrote what I know for sure. I think you're getting a birthday present. I don't know. What a terrible way to finish this episode. Anyways, I hope what I know for sure is that you're awesome. Okay, I'll leave it there. I hope you have a wonderful day ahead, and I will see you next time on Feel Goodery. And now for the legal stuff. The information provided in this podcast, which in this episode was just opinions, is for informational purposes only, and is not a substitute for professional medical advice. Not that I can't figure out where I said anything that could be close to that, but this is the legal disclaimer, okay? Please always, always consult your healthcare provider. And I highly recommend therapy.